Bibles to the New Testament scriptures and to Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, Mark's Gospel in chapter 1. And it is that we're going to consider, with God's help, the account that we have here of Jesus cleansing the leper. And it is that this, in terms of chronology, is the seventh of the miracles that Jesus performed and is recorded for us here in the scripture. So let's read Mark 1 from verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." It is, when I mention these names, AIDS, Ebola, SARS, COVID-19, it's maybe not the case that you've studied medicine at any point in your career, but it is that you know that none of these diseases are to be trifled with, and it is that certainly in many cases they result in death, and the death can either be very rapid, or it is, in cases, say, like Ebola, then it is that the death is long and slow and painful. It's heartbreaking for the individual who has that disease, but it's also heartbreaking for those who look on and consider their loved one. And it is that even today we're only too well aware of the World Health Organization and our own governments and other governments that over the past months they've made pronouncements and have sought to enact and enforce laws that ostensibly have as their goal the curtailing and spreading of disease, and in particular COVID-19. And I think if it is that if anybody had said to, certainly to me, on New Year's Day, the 1st of January 2020, that by the end of March that we would find ourselves in lockdown and it is that there would be an enforced quarantine, I don't think I would have believed that person. I would have wondered what it was that they had been reading. Yet, the reality is, just last week, a healthy 19-year-old is dead because of COVID. It is that middle-aged people are dead because of COVID. It is that elderly people are dead because of COVID. And for those who have lost loved ones to COVID-19, there's no debate, as far as they're concerned, as to whether COVID-19 is deadly or not, whether it's something that should just be laughed at or whether it's something that should not be trifled with. But it is that as they mourn the loss of their loved ones, the reality and danger that it poses is stark, it's shocking, and it's heartbreaking. Even as they move on in their life and that individual that they love dearly is no longer with them. And each one of us knows only too well that our life and society, it has changed dramatically over the past number of months. And there are some, if you read various opinions that are found out there, that are the opinion that it will be years before we get back to the way things were before the middle of March, if we ever get back there at all. So it would seem certainly that for the foreseeable future, we will continue to social distance. It is that we will be told to wear masks. It is that if we return from various places, we will have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. And it is that if you're discovered as someone who has COVID or indeed any other type of disease, it is that probably there will be those, even within your intimate circle, who will not have anything to do with you and may shun you. And that's why it is at a time like this, I think in God's providence, that it's more than appropriate that in the seventh miracle of Jesus that we're presented with the healing of the man with leprosy, and that it's so, so very appropriate in this day and age. Let's then begin to look at it now. First thing I think that we see here is the appeal by the leper, the appeal by the leper. Look at what you read in verse 40. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Now, what is it we find here? Well, I think it is that we find this appeal, that behind it, there is a wish that drives this individual. quite simply, it is that he wants to be clean. He wants to be pure. He wants to be healed of the disease that he's carried around. Dear knows for how long. It is that he's an individual who finds himself in a place of great need. He had leprosy, a disease from which we know had a terrible effect on the sufferer, both physically and socially. There are certainly worse illnesses than leprosy. We can think, say, of cancer, kidney failure, and other things like this. But the thing that is particular about these illnesses and the way they manifest themselves is that they are all internal. When it is that you come to the disease of leprosy, leprosy is a skin disease, and if you have leprosy, you can't hide it. It is that people see very clearly that there's something far wrong. And certainly at the time of Christ, and even before, and as we read in Leviticus chapter 14, it was the most dreaded disease of that time. It was the cancer, it was the Alzheimer's, it was the heart disease of its day. And leprosy, or Hansen's disease, as perhaps it's more correctly known as, it's a disease that attacks the nerves and their sensitivity to pain. And the disease, in many ways, it's like a sort of permanent local anesthetic, because it brings a numbness to the extremities of the body, to the ears, the eyelids, the nose, to the fingers and the toes. You know what it's like if you've gone to the dentist for a filling or whatever else it may be. It'll give you a local anesthetic. And then even after you've left the offices, the dentist's office, your jaw and part of your mouth is numb. You can't speak properly. And usually you end up slabbering down your chin and you don't even realize it. Well, you know that by the end of the day, that's going to change, and it is that you'll begin to feel things. Not so with the leper. It is that his sense of touch and what it was that was touching him was not to be his. You see, when it is that you have leprosy, you can stand on a nail and not feel that nail going into your foot. If it is that there's a burning coal that falls from a fire and it falls on you, you don't feel the pain. You don't know that you're being burned. If it is that you go to bed at night and the rats are out, and the mice are out, it is that a rat can gnaw on your feet. That happens, and you don't know it. You can put your hand in water that you think is cold, but it's actually scalding, and you feel nothing. All you see is the flesh beginning to fall from your hand. And all the warning signals that are usually given off by the nerves, they're switched off. And so it is that you're extremely vulnerable to wounds and infections and sores of all types. Lepers, we know, usually lose their fingers, their toes, their hands, and their feet. In the 20th century, one of the most famous experts, he was a Christian doctor, Dr. Paul Brand, with regard to leprosy. And it is that he really was a world authority on the disease of leprosy. And it seems that if you had leprosy and he was treating you, he would send you back to your own home from the treatment center, and he'd give you a cat. That seems strange, he would give you a cat. But the reason he gave you a cat was so that the rats and mice couldn't chew that person while it was that they slept. That it is that the cat would chase the rats and the mice away. And Dr. Brand said this concerning leprosy, and I quote, "A painless hell, a painless hell. Something that was continuous, something that was ongoing, something that was absolutely debilitating." And the particular leper that we have here in Mark's Gospel chapter 1, he was a particularly bad case. How can I say that? Well, if you go to Luke's account of what's taking place here, Luke tells us that this man was covered with leprosy. He was covered from top to toe with leprosy. Even if he wanted to hide it, he wasn't able to do it because every aspect of his physical being was covered with leprosy. Think on it. It had affected his face. It affected his hands, his feet, his arms, his legs, and so on. It is that this individual was a mass of ulcers and sores from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. It is that he looked loathsome if it was that you saw him. And certainly it is that the decay that was his, you could smell it, and it must have smelled absolutely putrid. And it is that it's an awful picture of what this disease can do, because it's all there on the surface. It's all there for individuals to see. Now, this individual, let's remind ourselves, he had no illusions about himself. He had no illusions about what he was, and he had no illusions about how it was that he knew that others saw him. Every time he put some food in his mouth with fingerless hands, every time it was that he sought to make a progress as he tottered along on the stumps of his legs because the feet had gone, this individual knew how ill he was. 24/7, 365. It was something that was constantly assaulting him physically, mentally, psychologically, socially, spiritually. Every aspect of his being was being destroyed by leprosy. And his physical illness led to the most awful social deprivation. That's why it was that we read Leviticus chapter 14. And there were strict rules, even as there are rules today that we have to obey because of disease. There were strict rules that the people in Galilee had to obey. And even in the time of Leviticus, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Now, you imagine if you had been someone who has really enjoyed the company of a people. If it is that you rejoiced that you were part of a society that worshipped God, if it is that you had worshipped the God of your fathers for years, now to be put out. Now to have to live apart from the covenant community. Now not being able to see your loved ones or those whom it is that you had a care and concern for. As a leper, you had to live away from your family, your wife, and your children. The group that he would begin to live amongst and eat and sleep with were all suffering from leprosy. Every face he looked at in the morning and throughout the day was a leprous face. And some of them would be in the final stages of this horrific disease, and he knew that's where it is that I'm heading. That's what it is that awaits me further down the road. And he lived an isolated life. Not only that, he knew that he was feared by the world and the people of his day. He could maybe stand at the brow of the hill and see his wife and his dear children far off in the distance, but that's all that he could do. They weren't allowed to greet him. It is that if they did that, it might encourage him to run toward him. But he lived his life as an outcast. If it is that someone saw him coming around the corner of a bend, he had to shout aloud, "Unclean, unclean." Imagine having to do that. Unclean, unclean. He would see children as they saw him, crying out in fear, thinking that some particular monster was before them. And it is that he would hear their cries and see them running from his presence. And for him, there was no sitting at the gate, no being able to sit with the elders of the day, no being able to converse about the things of God or about the state of his own society. Worship at the synagogue was something that he could not go to, and there would be no attendances at marriages and his funerals. You see how appropriate this is for today and what it means? Lepers had to stay away from healthy folk, especially if those folk were upwind. You see, we talk about social distancing, and we're told that we're to keep 6 feet apart from each other. It is that, as I said this morning, when the Sunday school resumes on September the 13th, it is that the seats will be so set out that social distancing will take place. But it was the case for the leper, that particularly if there was anybody upwind from them, they had to separate, they had to social distance in terms of 100 yards. That's how dangerous this disease was. Josephus, the first century historian, says that lepers, and I quote, were treated as though they were dead men. That's how you were viewed. You were dead. The rabbis of the day, they made things even worse. The leper poked his head through the doorway. Rabbis had decided that that house had to be declared unclean. And the leper was a sick man. The leper was one who was estranged from all that is humane and all that is good. And you know the saddest thing of all? There was nothing that could be done to help him. Think on it. Moses and the law could not help this man. It could tell him that he had leprosy. It could tell him how bad it was that he had leprosy. Moses and the law could tell him where it is that he had to live. Moses and the law could tell him how it was that he had to dress. Moses and the law could tell him what it was that he had to shout. But Moses and the law could not cure this leper. The leper could make every sacrifice that you find in the book of Leviticus, but it still wouldn't change him from being a leper. There was nothing in the Old Testament that could heal him. The rabbi said that it was easier to raise the dead than to cure leprosy. And not even the top doctor medics in Jerusalem could prescribe anything to make him better. There was no diet, there was no spa, there was no medicine, no treatment. There was no Galilee, there was no one in Galilee that could help him, and neither was there anyone else throughout the four corners of the world at that time. Leprosy was everywhere, but a cure was nowhere. It was nowhere to be found. And being the most loathsome and incurable of all diseases, it fitly represents in bodily form the ravages of sin in the soul of man. Some of you may be sitting there, and as I've been preaching this morning, you've been saying, I didn't come here for a medical lecture. Well, that's not what you were getting. What it was you were getting is how the Scripture itself presents in a very graphic way what sin is like and how it is that sin affects those who are sinners. Because what leprosy does is that it fitly represents in bodily form the ravages of sin in the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And leprosy was symbolic. It was a symbolic illness in Israel. It pictured sin. Many considered it, if you were a leper, it was a direct result of some sin that you had committed. Now the question, why was leprosy associated with sin? Why was leprosy associated with sin? Well, a few things. Sin eats away at the ability to be sensitive, and particularly the ability to be sensitive to that which is harmful to our bodies and our souls. How many is it over these past 8 days? And it is that they've been indulging in lifestyles. It is that they've been ingesting things into their bodies, injecting themselves with one thing or another. And it is that they know, even as they do this, at the end of the day, it'll probably not turn out good for me. They'll see others like themselves who are further down the road. And it is that the sensitivity that was once theirs is gone. And therefore it is that things are harmful. Sin separates us from God and from God's people. The leper was separated from God's people and indeed the covenant community. And it is that sin demeans us and destroys our self-worth. That's what leprosy did, and that's what sin does to us. So when it is that the prophets want to describe the effect of sin on any of us, they choose the image of this rampant and virulent disease. Listen to the prophet in Isaiah 1 and from verse 5, and what it is that God says through the prophet. Why will you be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick and the whole heart, heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. That's you. That's me. That's how the Scripture describes us, and particularly outside of Jesus Christ. And thank God, therefore, today that one of the titles that is ascribed to Jesus Christ is the Great Physician. He tells us that he didn't come into this world from God for healthy people. He tells us that he came only for people who are sick through sin. And how bad is that sickness because of sin? Well, think on it. Not one organ is undiseased. Not one cell because of sin is dying. Sin has touched each part of each one of us. Our eyes. What is it that sin has done? It's made us blind to the glory of God in creation. has made us blind to the power and the glory that's made manifest in the mountains and the valleys and the oceans of this world. It's made us blind even as we look up into the heavens and see the stars themselves and the universe spreading out for light years before us, almost to infinity. And we're blind. And people say, it just happened. Just happened. No. There is a God who is the creator. And there is a God as he is created, sustains all things. And if it is that you are able to see this today with the eye of faith, thank God for it. Because it's saying that you are being healed. It's saying that the leprosy of sin that once had you in its grip, that it is, that it's been cast out even as you're being sanctified. What about our ears? The ears of the leper, because of leprosy, would end up falling off. Can you imagine that? Lifting your head up from the pillow one morning, and it is that you see your ear lying there in the pillow. What a shock that must have been. Imagine the effect it would have on your physical hearing. But what about spiritually, the ears of men and women? They're deaf to the voice of God when it is that he speaks to them in his word. I know from speaking with other pastors that one of the things that blows the minds of pastors, if I could put it like that, is that you can have people sitting under your preaching and you preach the good news, you tell them why it's good news, you tell them why it is that they need to have a Savior, you present it clearly as far as you're concerned, you present it simply, and it is that they walk out untouched, unmoved. Why? Because they're deaf. It's a leprosy. The leprosy of sin. What about our mouths? Scripture tells us that our mouths are full of curses and bitterness. You and I know that only too well. I think I've told you before I was a Christian, I had a particularly foul mouth. And it is that every second word was a swear word. When it was that I became a Christian, within 24 hours, my work colleagues came up to me and said, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "You haven't sworn for a day. That's not usual for you." And it is that I told them, and they thought it was a great joke. "Oh, yeah, he's got religion. Yeah, sure." But how many of us, maybe it is that we don't have foul mouths in terms of using swear words, but what about gossip? What about things that really we shouldn't be saying about each other? What about our minds and how it is that the leprosy of sin has affected our minds? Our minds are perverted. Thank God that you're not able at times to see into my mind. But thank God also that I'm not able to see into your mind. And the things that sometimes go through your mind. Our imaginations, they're twisted. What about our affections? Our affections love that which is degenerate. And that's what we're seeing increasingly today. That the minds of men, the perversity that characterized them is being made manifest to an ever greater degree and extent, and it is that the shame that once characterized these things, that it's gone, it's no more. The leprosy of sin has made society insensitive to these things. And things that are in absolute contradiction to the Word of God are now being posited as things that are a good and positive and helpful to society. And it is that love, and Paul says, you remember, the greatest of these is love. Basically, love today is lust in many cases, and lust that ends up manifesting itself in a sexually transmitted diseases of one sort or another. And it is that there's illness because of that. What about our bodies? We'll finally contract an illness. Praise God and pray to God. We should be praying for each other each day at the moment, that we're kept safe. I say to each one of you when I speak to you, keep safe. Because it is that this COVID virus, whatever we think about it, if you take it, it's dangerous. is dangerous. And it is that all of us, whether it's COVID, whether it's cancer, whether it's heart disease, whatever it is, will finally contract an illness for which there is no cure under heaven for it. And it is that that will be the greatest manifestation of the disease, of the leprosy of sin in our own beings. We're all going to die. We know that. Some of us push it away. But if we're wise, think about what Solomon tells us. It is better to be found in the house of mourning than in the house of fools. Because it is that when you're in the house of mourning, you're presented with what awaits every individual who will ever be found in the face of this earth. And the scripture goes on to say, and the living will take it to heart. Imagine that. It's better not to be a party animal, but it's better to be in the house of mourning. And it is that all of us, without exception, are lepers because of sin. Now, isn't that terribly offensive? You may be sitting there and you're saying, I went to church this morning and came to church, and I'm worshiping online this morning. And I was looking for inspiration. I was looking for encouragement. I was looking for joy and gladness. And it is that you're telling me and have told me that in the sight of God, as I am in and of myself, that I am a leper. My friend, that's the best thing you could hear today. Because if you leave this service, either physically or online, and it is that you have not bowed the knee to Christ, you have not asked the great physician to touch you as he touched this leper and healed him, you're dead spiritually. But the hope of the gospel is that through Christ, we are raised up to new life. Through Christ, there is the hope that these bodies of decay, that it is that one day we will be found in glorified bodies like Christ's body that are raised above all the earthly limitations that are ours at the moment. Think of what John says in Revelation near the end. There'll be no more tears. How wonderful. No more death. No more sorrow. Why? Because all the former things have passed away. They're gone. They're done with. And it is, therefore, that one of the best things that you could do is to take the diagnosis of Scripture, and as it says to you, outside of Christ, you're diseased by spiritual leprosy. But in Christ, there is a cure. We'll come on to that, God willing, next week. Let's stand to pray. Our God and our Father, it is that at times there are things that your word tells us that we don't like to hear. There are times, O Lord, when it is that we can take offense to what a preacher says. And yet all he is doing is taking your word and presenting it. There are times, O Lord, when it is that we will not acknowledge, we are so proud, that we will not acknowledge that as we are, outside of Christ, that we are spiritual lepers, that is your word. Even as you yourself, Lord, have declared through the prophet, we are covered in wounds and putrefying sores, not from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. But we thank you for the hope that is ours today, that we can know of the touch of the great physician upon our bodies and our souls. And we pray, Father, that even in this coming week, and as we would draw near next Lord's Day and continue to see what it is that happened in this meeting between divinity and desperation, it is that we might learn from it and therefore be enabled to rejoice for what Christ can do. We pray particularly for any who are with us physically or online and who know not you as Savior, our God. We pray that you might open their eyes, and that you might let them know that there is balm in Gilead that is able to heal body and soul. Thank you then, Lord, for the blessings of this morning. If it be your will, gather us again for the worship of your name this evening. Go with us now and forgive sin. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.